Hello, everyone. Welcome, all you my friends out there in TV land, internet land. Hope you're all doing well, and thank you so much for being here with us today. It's a pleasure to have you, and welcome into our Breaking Free world. We're always happy to have you, and we're always ready to break free, break loose, find that little piece of freedom, our liberties, you know, our voice, our passion, our heart. It's always what this show is about showing you people, stories, techniques, strategies, tools, methods, philosophy, anything that we can that says, you know what, you can do it too. You know what, I'm doing it, we're doing it together. We're a fireside chat. We are sitting in our living room. We're sitting around the table. We're sitting on the phone. We're face to face. We're friends, just sharing stories of how it can be and how we want it to be. And so before we get started with our guest today, I want to say hi to Amnon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm doing good. Got a lot going on, but I'm happy about all the stuff I got going on. So it's
and
all good.
You make it all go on.
I make it. Yeah. You know what? That is so true. Because sometimes I know we all say that I am so busy. I am. And I like to say I'm rich and full. My days are rich and I'm full. And, you know, yeah, we all say we're busy this, we're busy that. But guess what? We are in control of that busy. And if busy don't sound good to you, if it's like tipping the scale or your plate's overflowing and you can't get to what's overflowed, then maybe it's time to say, whoop, and pull it back in. So, yeah, yep. You're right. Right?
You're right. I know you make it all happen.
Yeah, we make it all happen. I make it all happen. But you know what? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm keeping it under control. So with that, we have a really great guest on today. He's very interesting. He's going to open up our world to a new insight, maybe something new to learn, a new way to feel, maybe. Just let's give him a chance, because I know you're going to like this man. His name is Max Ivey. He is the blind blogger. And I want to welcome Max here to our show today. Hey, Max.
Well, hi there, Marilyn. And hi, Amnon. I'm glad to be here. How are y'all doing today?
We are all doing just fine. Where are you, by the way?
I'm in Conroe, Texas, just a little bit north of Houston.
Is that where you're from?
I'm from Spring, which is just a little bit further up the road. But yes, I'm born and raised in Texas.
Cool. Well, it's very nice to welcome you here. Thanks so much for doing what you're doing, for sharing who you are and your gifts and, you know, shedding some more light out here.
Thank you so much for doing your show and for putting in all the effort that it takes to put something like this on the air to give people like me a place to share my story.
Well, I thank you. I have a belief that it's us, that it's up to us, and it's in our hands. So tell everybody who you are and really who you are and what you do.
Okay, you told me to keep my answers short, so I'm going to try.
Well, don't tell all my secrets.
But this ain't easy because, you know, you've read my email, you've seen my website, and you know there's quite a bit to the story.
There's quite a bit to Max. Yes, there is.
Yeah. I tell people I'm all over the map. I'm complicated. I'm unusual. I'm unique. I'm a one in a kind for sure. I started off in a family of carnival owners. All I ever wanted to do was grow up and run the family business. I am almost totally blind, so growing up, we had to find some creative ways for me to participate in the business. I was lucky enough to work alongside my dad for over 11 years before lung cancer took him away from us way too early, in my opinion. I lost my best friend, my business partner, and the guy who told the best stories in the world, who could make you laugh when it was raining outside. So after he went, eventually me and my brothers weren't able to keep our small carnival going, went out of business, and had to join up with my uncle's carnival. That wasn't any fun because we had competed bitterly with my uncle over the years, and it was kind of like, what, I have to lose to them? I'm sorry, this isn't any fun. So I went through a bit of a depression. I eventually had a health emergency where a doctor told me, Max, if you don't change your body and your lifestyle, you're not going to be around much longer. So I got with a good physician. She diagnosed me with sleep apnea, treated it with a CPAP machine. A few years later, after diet and exercise on my own wasn't working, she convinced me to go to a seminar on gastric surgery. I went there, found out that gastric surgery isn't a quick fix, that you have to still work your butt off for it to be successful. So I was in, had the surgery, changed my diet, exercise, became more positive, read a lot better books and watched a lot better TV, and lost over 250 pounds. So now I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my life. After I started to get healthy with the CPAP, I started finding passion. I started finding other things that I was capable of doing besides the carnival business. I started my own website, the Midway Marketplace, where I help people buy, sell, and trade amusement equipment. And from that, I started blogging, recording videos, social media, email list building. And people go, you know, Max, you're amazing. You're doing all this crazy stuff as a blind guy. We think your story is inspiring, so you need to share it more. My response was, hey, I'm just a guy working hard every day to build a business. I'm not anything special. To which they said, you know, Max, there are a lot of people out there who don't have a physical disability or any reason keeping them from going after their goals, and they're doing nothing about it. So we need you to share your story. Started the second website, theblindblogger.net. Started sharing my experiences as a blind entrepreneur there. That eventually led to me writing my first book, Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspirational Guide to Success. Currently working on my second book, I've finished it. It's going to be out in May. It's not the cookie, it's the bag, what I learned about losing weight and keeping it off successfully. So, and I like to sing, and eventually I want to record an album, and it seems like every day some crazy new idea or opportunity comes to me, and I do my best not to say no until I consider whether or not it's something that would be good for me.
Yeah. All right, well, hold on just a second. There was a lot there, and I just want to remind all of our guests to be sure and connect with us in our chat. You're welcome to do that. You can put your name under our video, nickname, whatever you like, and you can ask questions. You can talk to other people that are in there. You can call us anytime at 919-518-9773 if you have access to a phone, or you can come in on Skype at Computers 2K Voice, and that is it'll be through Skype Voice. Max.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's just... You have a lot going on, and that's exciting, and you know what to do with it, which I think a lot of people don't always know what to do with their ideas, and sometimes they get stuck in that. But before we go forward into dissecting what you do, I want to know more about the amusement business. You had a carnival. Was that the kind of thing that you went from town to town?
Yes, we had about 7 or 8 rides. We moved about 40 weeks out of the year. And I learned a lot of great lessons being in the carnival business, because the one thing you learn right away is nobody cares if you're sick or if your truck don't run. All they care about is, do you get open on Thursday night so they can have their carnival and raise their money for their town or city's particular charity. So you learn a lot about not caring how you get it done, just getting it done. And so that's really helped me a lot since I've started working on my own businesses.
And how old were you when you were part of the carnival?
My grandmother gave me my first job at 5 when she allowed me to bag the popcorn and put the butter on it.
That's great. And so your whole family, we're in the carnival business.
Yeah, I have my dad, and then I have 3 uncles, and all 4 of them have owned carnivals at one time or another. Mm-hmm. The only one still left in the business is my uncle Albert Wagner, who owns Wagner's Kitty Carnival out of Aransas Pass, Texas. And his son and grandkids have extended and expanded that business, and they have become one of the biggest carnivals in the state now. And they're growing all the time.
Was it fun?
It was fun when we were kids, because there was like 20 of us cousins that would run around together. We always could come up with games on our own, you know, things to play. During the season, we're always meeting new people and going to different places and seeing a lot of the parts of the country that other people didn't get to. So, yeah, it was fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, there's so much to learn about being resourceful, you know, being able to come up with creative ideas of things that, you know, you wouldn't have thought about, you know, traveling around, seeing different sites. What'd you do about school?
Well, when my family was doing this, the carnival season was only about 7 or 8 months long. It wasn't year round like it is now. So generally, when the like late spring and early fall fairs were going on, one of your relatives would put a bunch of you in school while the rest of the family was out working. So for us, school wasn't a problem. Mm-hmm. In Australia and the UK, they have traveling schools that either travel with the events or travel to different cities. And here in the U.S., some of the really big carnivals have their own schoolhouses and actually provide school to the carnival kids on the Midway, wherever the Midway happens to be.
Wow, just like a move, just like in the movies. I'm sort of sitting here kind of imagining what that must be like, just living there, living amongst the rides and all the games and just new people all the time. Very cool.
Yeah, there were some things that made it really difficult to run an online business when I was first getting started, because there were weeks where 2 or 3 days out of the week you wouldn't have electric, or you wouldn't have water, or you wouldn't have sewer. Some days I worked on my laptop when it was over 100 degrees inside the trailer I was working in.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you actually started your online business while you still had the carnival.
While I was working with my uncle's carnival. It was okay. After ours went out of business, but when I was with him, yes, I was traveling and I was running my business using a Sprint data card. And that was entertaining, because some weeks I would get a great signal and be able to upload changes to my website. And some weeks I'd get a signal so bad that it would completely erase my website, and I'd have to go somewhere to the next town or up to get somebody to drive me up to a higher place in the town and re-upload my website.
What was the greatest experience that you had when you were younger, or when you were at least still involved with the carnival? What was the greatest experience when you look back that helped you be who you are today?
That's really hard to say. I would say the thing I look back to most was some of the events that I either booked or helped my family book, because of more than one occasion I was able to get us into events that either didn't want carnivals or hadn't had carnivals in a long time. So, and there was a stretch of about 5 years where, thanks to certain festival committees changing their dates or getting rid of their events altogether, I had to find a way to book a different 4th of July every year for 5 straight seasons. And that was not easy.
What'd you do to make it happen?
Well, what you do is you make a lot of phone calls. You call a bunch of people up, and most of them tell you no, or heck no, or why are you calling me? if you're lucky, you make 30 or 40 or 50 calls, and you book 2 or 3 weeks in your calendar if you're really lucky. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the lessons one of the lessons I learned from my dad was from cold calling. This was back before the internet, before email, when you would have to go get the actual printed books from the state welcome center, or call them up and have them send them to you in the mail. He would say, Max, if you don't ask, they can't say yes. And I'm like, well, that sounds great, but you're not the one making all these calls.
Right.
You have to have a bad memory when you're cold calling.
Yeah, well, you have to have a vision that's bigger than the bad memory. Right? You have to want something so badly.
I like to say you have to get to the point where you don't have a choice.
Right.
And, I was in a position where if we didn't book the calendar, we didn't eat. It was that simple. If we could not string events together where we had at least 2 or 3 good ones in every month during our working calendar, we would eat beans and cornbread or bologna sandwiches if we were lucky. So I was in a position of not having a choice of, I have to find a way. And that's one of those lessons that you learn from running your own business. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who have small businesses who I believe have learned those same lessons, because when you're the little guy, you don't have all the resources you want, you don't have all the money you need, you don't have all the people you would like to hire, but you've got to find a way.
So that really kind of brings you into who you are, right? You like don't take no for an answer. You have a thing about no excuses. I mean, you're going for the whole thing. You want everything you can get out of life. Is that not right?
That's exactly true. And I'm getting an echo. Are y'all getting an echo?
No.
Okay. And I believe that if you're looking for a way that will solve the problem or get you to that next step, you'll find it. And I've been lucky enough to either find it or run across some people who could help me find it. I just think that way too often people make a list of things they can't do or don't have instead of looking for a way to make it happen and get to that next step. So that's, like you said, that's who I am. I'm gonna do as much of it as I can, get as much out of life as I can. And the one thing I've really noticed is the more I start challenging myself, the more opportunities and the more challenges that seem to come along.
Mm-hmm. So have you been blind since birth?
No, I was born with retinitis pigmentosa. I had perfect vision when I was born. I started losing it when I was 4 or 5. I stayed pretty constant until, you know, wearing glasses until I was about 12 or 13 when I had a big drop off in vision. They say that's pretty common for men with RP when they go through puberty. It got down to the point where I had to start using a white cane, and they started teaching me Braille, and I went from using large print to recorded audio. It stayed pretty constant until I was in my early 20s, and then it dropped off a lot more to where I'm at now, which is light perception with very little peripheral vision. And I consider myself blind because I have no functional vision, and everything I do is either done with speech, with tactile, or by asking somebody to tell me what it looks like.
So, you know, I have eye issues, and I've had eye issues for many years, and, you know, but I certainly can see, but I can, you know, I'm having cataracts, all those things. So I'm really sensitive to you and, you know, what it's like for you and what you've been able to accomplish. And I think it's amazing. And and the fact that you could see in your early years, how has that made a difference, or how has that been harder for you in going forward? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, in one way, it's made some things easier because there are certain concepts that are hard to grasp if you've never seen. I do understand what most color names mean, although there's a whole bunch of new colors we didn't have in my crayon box when I was a kid.
That's true.
You know, half the time I call somebody to order a shirt and they start naming off colors, and I'm like, okay, you're going to have to tell me what color that's similar to, because I don't know that one. There are a lot of pop culture references that I get, some animated stuff from the 70s and early 80s, some merchandising logos that I can remember what they look like. So those, well, you know, those things make some things easier. In other respects, I have heard from people who lose their vision all at once, or who were born blind, that makes it easier for them because they never have to, they only have to adjust to life once. In my case, I've had to constantly adjust to changes in my vision from in the beginning when I could see perfectly, and I'm a big reader. I've always loved books and reading. So I've gone from regular print to large print to having to use a closed circuit TV where you put the book under a camera and it enlarges it and puts it up on a screen for you, to eventually recorded audio. And of course, now it's all digital downloads but the library is still recording books for the blind, thank goodness. And so, you know, that's been one example of adjustments I've had to make. I've gone from using a typewriter that was manual to electric to computer keyboards, and having to figure out how to use a computer with speech. And now it's getting used to using my iPhone, which is something I never thought I would do. And I still don't like touch screens, and I think they were created by the devil, but that's just me.
No, that's a kind of, well, on some level, I'm not crazy about it either, especially on my computer, it goes crazy. So I guess I want to get more into more of your philosophy and, you know, your overall message. But I guess I wonder, how do you even know what a computer is even like? Or how are you, I mean, how did that concept even get to you? Or a cell phone?
You know, my first exposure to computers was at the Lions World Services for the Blind. I went there to be trained for a job with the Internal Revenue Service, and they had computers that had screen readers hooked up to them. And that was where I first learned to use them. But I didn't really learn to use them as computers like most people do now. The only real learning there was how to use these computers as a dummy terminal to enter the information that you need to when people call in to talk to somebody from the IRS. So that was my first exposure, but it got me used to the idea that it taught me some of the concepts you use as far as navigating the screen with a computer that has a screen reader. And, you know, it changes all the time, because every time somebody updates a website, you have to the next time you visit that site, you have to figure out what techniques you use that will work with that particular site setup. And there are some sites that you can't access at all because they use a majority of flash media, or the JavaScript isn't properly set up, or they use a lot of images without the alternative text tags. But that was where I was first introduced to the computer. And of course, I came to computers very late in life. That would have been 1990. I was born in 66. So, you know, I was 24 the first time I saw a computer. And I think I was probably 34 before the first time I owned one of my own. The smartphones, I've been using a regular junky old flip phone up until last April. So this makes a year for me with my iPhone. And I put off buying it because I kept thinking, what if I get it and I can't use it?
And what changed your mind?
Well, I have quite a few other visually impaired friends online who kept telling me about all the great things they could do with their iPhone that they couldn't do with their laptops. And eventually I said, okay, I just sold this ride. I've got this money in my pocket. I'll go ahead and buy me an iPhone, and I'll be positive and believe that I'm going to figure out a way to make it work. But if it doesn't work out, I bought it with found money, with, you know. So it did work out. I bought it with a Bluetooth keyboard, thinking I would need the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that ever happened to me was it was not a good keyboard, and it broke after a month. And once it broke, I really started learning how to use the iPhone, how to get around the touchscreen. I now use a lot of apps on my iPhone before I use them on my computer. And like, for example, if this wasn't going to be a video interview with you today, I would have done this Skype call on my phone, because Skype works better on my phone than it does on my laptop. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Facebook and Twitter. Facebook Messenger.
Wow, you got it. So what?
Trivia Crack. I like Trivia Crack. either y'all ever on there, y'all feel free to challenge me. I'll probably beat you, but you're.
That's good to know. So tell me something. So what do you want to accomplish in your life? Like, what is your do you have like a major goal?
You know, I don't know that I do. I think I have a goal of continuing to be open to whatever life brings me, to take advantage of the opportunities that come along. I want to be successful and be an example to others. I want to do at least one national or international television interview this year. I want to see my name in at least one major print magazine. I want to be on Oprah. I want to get to the point where everybody else out here is following this no excuses thing that has found me, because, you know, I didn't start out to be called the blind blogger. I didn't start out to be the guy who's no excuses. I just started out to be the guy who had to figure out a way to make a living. And, well, I know carnivals and I know amusement parks, and I used to help the families sell their rides when they needed to. So that's where I started. Okay, how do I build a website? How do I get people to list their equipment with me? How do I get people to buy the equipment I have for sale? You know, what can I do to market it better? So I'm more about solving the problems that are in front of me than I am about a big goal. But I would say my big goal is to share my story, encourage and inspire others to take steps in their own life. And I want to travel the world and meet all of the great people that I've met online, like you and Amnon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, we hope that we look forward to the day that happens. So, I mean, for you, you know, where I might take certain things for granted, and maybe an oversight in something that I need to accomplish, and I don't think about necessarily the steps, where maybe sometimes I should, or maybe sometimes many of us should, you really have to think about each of the steps. in doing it, because it's not the same for you. You've got to think about, you know, I mean, even building a website, if I wanted to, which I don't, I mean, I might go on WordPress and decide, oh, I'm just going to put up this thing and do this and do, but you can't do that, can you? I mean, you have to really think about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult. And, you know, the first time I built a website, I had to build it in HTML. And since there are no ways for a blind person to use a what you see is what you get website creation application or service, I had to hand code the entire site. So I started off with the W3C school, learning one step at a time as to how to create your homepage and links and embed images. And I eventually got to where I could do most of the basic stuff you have to do to run a website. But I agree with you. There is no way in heck I would do that again.
That's a lot.
I'm happy being on WordPress, where most of the work is done for you. And all you really have to do is pick the theme, upload your logo, your header image, you know, create your menu links, and then start adding your content.
So how do you figure the theme when you can't see it?
Well, I always go with the basic theme. I go with whatever the latest version of WordPress is. Uh-huh. And then, like, for example, with the blindblogger.net, I think it was 2014 when I started that site. A friend of mine, Fabrizio Van Marciano, he runs a site in Australia, and he's a web developer. And he said, you know, Max, I'd like to help you make your site a little prettier. He said, so how about I, you know, make it look prettier? So he added the green to the white and the black, and he added the, you know, the stuff on the sides of the page, and went to a different theme and a different child, whatever the heck child means. But, you know, the site was working okay the way it was. It's just a little prettier now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny how often I get comments from people who go, your site is really great. I love the way you set it up. Could you tell me how to do that? And I'm like, all I did was take, I'm like, hey, okay, pick the most current WordPress approved theme and get started. That's, you know.
So Max, you know, a lot of times, one of the things people don't do, and some of what other people, successful people do, is they ask for help. They have teams of people, they're resourceful in who they go to find help. And that's one key factor in being successful today, because there's so many things that we can do. There's so many opportunities. There's so many tweaks and technology this and technology that you can't do. So I think one of the things I'm hearing from you is that you get help.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's one of the areas where I am blessed to be visually impaired. Being blind helps you with that, because there are two things they teach you from a young age if they know you're going to lose your sight. One is, always look towards the person you're talking to. And two, never be afraid to ask for help. So I've got 30-something, 40-something years of people telling me, Max, it's okay to ask for help. Don't worry about it. So I have an advantage there, but I finally figured out a key that will help the sighted people learn how to ask for help. And here's what it is. You take the focus off of yourself. Instead of thinking, I'll look foolish or I won't look professional if I have to ask other people how to do stuff, think about it this way. If you don't ask somebody for help, you're robbing them of the joy that comes from helping another human being who can do nothing for them but say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's like a circle, right? And if all I am is, you know, receiving and I'm not asking, then the circle can't continue. So that's great advice. That's great advice. Then what other little ditties do you have in, that, you know, like your recipe for success or for no excuses? What else do you have?
Well, the one thing that I consider my core belief is I do what I can as well as I can today, and then I either do more or do it better tomorrow. And as long as I stay true to that one thing, I never have to worry about apologizing to myself for being mean to myself. And there are a lot of people out there who have that problem. When things don't go like they want to, they will, you know, call themselves names that, you know, shouldn't be used by any of us. And I don't ever do that. I'm, like I say, I've I always remind myself, I did the best that I could do at that particular moment in time. And that's one thing a lot of people should do more. And it's really in the whole thing of being kind to yourself and showing yourself the love that you deserve everything you're trying to get out of life.
Mm-hmm. So you're really good with acknowledging yourself.
Yeah, I really acknowledge the successes in my life. You know, I accept my failures, but I always look for ways to overcome those, to use those as ways to improve myself. But the one thing I love about doing shows like this is the introduction, because to me, every time I hear somebody introduce myself, it's a moment where I can take and I can be grateful for who I was, where I'm at now, and how far I've come along the way in the last few years. And I think a lot of people need to do this. They need to create a gratitude board or a gratitude wall or a gratitude page on their website or in their computer folder, because everybody's got it, or most everybody knows about having a vision board, but not everybody has something to remind them to be grateful. And I like to say the one thing about gratitude is when you give thanks, when you count your blessings, they grow. So I think a lot of people, they get the vision board, they need to add a gratitude board right next to it so they can acknowledge all their successes, no matter how small, and use those as fuel to keep them going towards the big goal.
So true. So true. I mean, it's so important to acknowledge ourselves. I mean, it's fuel for the car. You know, it's like gasoline for the car. You want to you want your car to go, put gas in it. You want to go, you want to, you know, accomplish things in your life, acknowledge yourself, because it is just like Max is saying, it's so critical. And you're all about what you can do, not what you can't do. Even though I hear you say, okay, you don't think about a problem in the sense of, oh, a problem. You think about it like it's the step forward. It's like, okay, let me accomplish this, then I can get to this, then I'll have another issue, only so that it helps me go forward, not because it's standing in your way.
Well, that's because I consider that every event, person, or experience that comes into your life is there for a purpose and can be a positive if you will let it be, if you keep your heart and your mind open to the possibilities, open to the lesson that's there, then everything can be a positive, no matter how bad it seems at the moment. And, you know, I'm not at the point where I want to be in my journey. I still want to accomplish a lot more, but I'm very, very thankful for where I'm at this minute. And there have also been, you know, lots of times during this journey, especially with the Midway Marketplace, where I was like, man, that was a terrible event. But then, you know, you take 30 minutes or an hour and you start thinking, well, that wasn't the way I wanted this to happen, but what are the positives I can take out of it? What can I do from here forward that will make me a better person or a better business person or make my website better or anything along those lines?
So when you were going through your journey, as you know, going from a sighted young boy into somewhat losing your vision, into, you know, all of the changes you had to go through, did you find yourself at a point in your life where you felt like your world was coming to an end?
I found myself where I thought I was coming to an end lots of times. Uh-huh. when I graduated college and realized I wasn't going to get into law school and figured, well, what am I going to do next? I thought that was the end. When I spent 3 years working for the Internal Revenue Service and realized that it was a job I hated, that half the mornings I would get up and go, well, if I call in sick, will they fire me? You know, when I finally decided that wasn't working, I thought that was the end. When the carnival went out of business, I thought that was the end. When I weighed over 500 pounds, was almost kicked out of a motel for peeing the bed because my health was horrible, I thought that was the end. There's been lots of times when I thought it was the end. But if you've got a good family and good friends and you're raised with the belief that you have the ability to do big things in your life, that basically, you know, like the cliche says, there's nothing you can't do if you don't put your heart into it. If you have those things with you, then when you get to those points where it seems like you're at the end, you can find the next little piece, or the next little footprint in the ground, the next little sign, whatever it is that helps you go, well, this one's over, and this one looks like it might be the thing I was meant to do. And that's kind of where I feel like now, as far as sharing my story and motivating people to take action in their lives and trying to get them past the excuses they come up with. So yeah, I think this is finally who I'm meant to be, but it's not the finished version of who I'm meant to be, because I believe I'm still meant to go out and share my story in front of audiences on larger platforms. I believe I've got several more books in me besides the ones I've already written. You know, I believe there's opportunities, you know, that for growth. There's things that this journey as far as the blind blogger is on that I haven't even seen or imagined yet that are still part of this part of my journey, as you put it.
So let's talk about the blind blogger, because I guess, you know, I often say, and myself included, that many of us, there's a lot of us. There are a lot of people out here, you know, screaming for a platform, wanting to write a book, wanting to be heard. You know, I'm a business and life coach. We're a dime a dozen. You know, a lot of us are a dime a dozen. But, you know, sometimes we have something that just we're so passionate about that we are willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to break free from whatever it is, to be able to take that little nugget of whatever that thing is and push, because we know that it's that valuable. So for you, the blind blogger, what is your, like, what do you write about? What's your message in that?
I basically share whatever my most recent experience is with either of my businesses or my personal life. And then I draw on that to, you know, to talk to my readers as far as what I learned from it and what I think they can learn from it. I'm told that I'm painfully authentic, open, and honest about my life, that I share things that a lot of people wouldn't share.
Like what? Like what? Like what?
Well, it's just that I'm very open, completely transparent with whatever I'm posting. More than once I've had somebody tell me that they thought I put too much of myself out on the internet, but I don't really know any other way to do this. If I've gone through it, if I've learned something from it, I'm going to share it. And, you know, this, like I say, the experience with, you know, with urinating on motel bed at 30 something years old and almost being asked to leave and being asked to pay for their bed and their linen. You know, that was a big thing, because it gave me a wake up as far as my physical health. And I really didn't get started in my business until I started getting healthy. So that's the kind of thing that I share with people.
Well, I think one of the things that you show is that there's no regrets. You know, I think very often people, you know, have things happen to them, and maybe sometimes they don't forgive easily, and they build a grudge, or they get angry with themselves for, you know, not making it to point A or not making it to point B, being attached to how it's supposed to look. And what I'm getting from you, Max, is, you know, it may not look the way you thought, but there's something else out there that is only guiding you to, and that when you get a message, you know, you don't close the door and say goodnight. You go like, okay, let me open the door and find out what else is over there, and let me make a difference.
Yeah, I like to say that they don't award style points. And I think way too many people are either going for degree of difficulty or they're looking for those style points. And outside of the Olympics, there's nowhere in life that happens. So I don't hide the bad stuff. I share the bad stuff and the good stuff. And if people leave negative comments, I don't delete them. I reply to them. I embrace them and start discussions. So, but I want to get back to something you said. You said that life coaches are like a dime a dozen. There are thousands of people wanting to get their voice. And, you know, I became the blind blogger by accident. There are lots of visually impaired people out there who are blogging and podcasting and YouTube channel shows. And I tell people quite often, there are many of them who are more talented and more prolific than I am. The difference is that I go out of my way to promote my website or my work to the to people who aren't visually impaired, I've, you know, really stepped out into the online communities on social media. And as a result of that, when I started thinking about this second website, I asked people, I said, what should I call myself? And they're like, you know, Max, we've been calling you the blind blogger for a year now. If somebody doesn't already have that domain name, go ahead and get it. And of course, it was available, so I took it. But it's just amazing how I have become the, you know, with the capital T-H-E, the blind blogger, basically because I was the first guy there to claim the name. I was the one out there in public, you know, proud of my visually impairedness and how it affected running my business. And so I think a lot of times when it comes to brand names, people are trying to come up with something on their own that will make them unique and make them stand out. But sometimes there's something that's, like you were saying, it's a unique part of who you are that would be the perfect brand name if you just accepted it and ran with it. And I think a lot of people would right. be more successful if they just go, because, hey, it was a great nickname. Don't tell me that you haven't had clients that you've coached who would have said, no, I don't want that name. And I've actually had people who have told me, you know, Max, we don't like the fact that you emphasize the fact that you're blind. We don't think you need to use that crutch in your business. We think you're too good of a writer. And I'm like, well, people hung that name on me. It's become my brand. It's made me unique. So I'm gonna keep it. I thank goodness. I thank God that somebody hung that nickname on me, and I was smart enough to, or willing enough to accept it.
Yep. I agree. And I don't think things like that are a crutch. I think it's good to use those things because it's when you're coming from your heart, which I know you are, you're not coming out there to make fun of it. You're using it to open up a door. You're using it to get noticed, which is a good thing. When you have something to say that is going to make a difference, I don't care if I came out here with purple hair, you know. There's a lot of times that I think it's important that we commercialize certain things so that they don't become, you know, stigmas, that they are, you know, that they're, you know, they're just, you're just a person, you know, I'm just a person, and that we use these things so that we can, so it will carry our voice. And I think you're doing a really good job of it. I don't think you're out here, you know, making fun of it. I think you're out here using it in good taste, and it is who you are.
Well, thank you, and you're right. It is who I am. And just yesterday, I found out that somebody else has now created a site called The Blind Writer.
Good.
So apparently, I must be doing something right.
Yeah. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I think that's great.
Because their plan is to promote the many other visually impaired bloggers that are out there. So, but I agree with you. I appreciate the compliment and the reassurance, because there are times, as you know, when well-meaning people in your circle who will say things, and you have to be strong enough to go, well, that's not who I am or what I'm doing, but thank you for the contribution. So
that's right.
It really helps to have somebody like you, somebody who's made their own brand and made got their own voice out there to agree with what I'm doing here.
Oh,
that
yeah.
really helps.
Absolutely. I mean, I have some things that I am passionate about, and I have been, you know, fortunate enough to somehow find my ways, and or it's found me to be able to help me, just like this show or the ideas, you know, ideas that come to you that are so good that come to you for a reason. And you're the carrier, you're the train, you're the airplane, you're the bus, the car that takes that idea out into the world. And I think it's up to us to do these things, and that's why I'm glad you're here. So tell me something, who are your mentors? Who have mentored you? Who do you look to that you say, wow, that's how I want to be, or they're sharing my message, or because they can, I can?
I have two different groups. I have people that I've gotten to know online who have been mentors to me directly through email and comment, you know, blog commenting. Adrian Smith, who's known as the blog commenting superstar, who taught me all about building relationships online. Robin Hallett, who's an intuitive healer, who taught me about being your authentic, real self, and finding that one thing that you're put here on this earth for and going after it. And then Harleena Singh, who was the woman who gave me the guest post where I first realized I'm here for more than just selling carnival rides. And it was through the process of working with her on that guest post on AHA Now that I go, dang, my story is inspirational, and I'm doing people a disservice by not doing more to get it out there and help people. And then I have people that I've learned from through their books who I eventually want to meet someday, like Eric Weimemeyer, the guy who's climbed Everest and the other seven summits. Rachel Skidoris, who is the only blind person to ever run in the Iditarod. And Tom Sullivan, who considers himself a musician, entertainer, and documentary filmmaker who happens to be blind, is the way he puts it. Those are some famous people who I've mm-hmm. come to know through their books who I go, that's where I would eventually like to be. And one of the next things I'm hoping to accomplish is to get one of my books read and made available at the Library for the Blind. That's mm-hmm. something that hasn't happened yet that's on my to-do list.
Why that? Why that book? And which book is it?
I want to get the Leading You Out of the Darkness book. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because it would help people, and it's not just because it would get my name out to a bunch of people who haven't heard of me before, but it's just the fact that it would be a validation of all the work I've put into for them to decide to record my book and put it on and put it available out there for their readers to download and listen to. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be a real stand up and cheer type moment if you were going to the movies.
Because is that the one about the weight loss?
No, that the one about the weight loss is it's not the cookie, it's the bag.
Right.
Coming out. That one's coming out in a few weeks, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be doing blog posts and reviews and stuff for it in June and July. So that's the next book. The first book was the first book was Leading You Out of the Darkness Into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspirational Guide to Success, where I share a lot of the journey and life lessons to this point. I ask people to work on some exercises and correspond with me through email as they work through them. And then I share my answers to the exercises to kind of help people work through it. Because I think a lot of times people read books or download the audio or they go to the seminar, and when they get home, they still can't actually accomplish anything. So I thought I would do something unique and include the email address and then have people know that there's at least one person listening to them that wants them to succeed. Because as I'm sure you know, a lot of people, when they start to change their lives, they will find out that a lot of people in their circle don't want them to change their lives.
Yep, absolutely. So can you give us a little sampling of an exercise in the book?
Well, I think that one of the best exercises is after people get clear on what their one real true purpose goal is, what they're really meant to do while they're here. I ask them to make a list of all the things they think that they will have to accomplish in order to reach the goal. And then I ask them to put those goals into a group of four things. Either one, things you can do right now, things you're capable of at this moment. Two, if you can't do it, can you learn it? Three, if you can't do it or learn it, can you ask somebody to help you do it? And four, if you can't do it, learn it, or ask for help, then put it off to the side for that time in the future when you will be able to do something about it. And then I tell them, after you make the list, after you put them into the four categories, pick one thing and do that one thing today. Take that one concrete action, no matter how small it is, and do that today.
Well, listen, I have to say, so let me tell you why this man walks his walk and talks his talk. Because I came in here at 12 o'clock. He was on the nose already, having connected with Amnon, our producer, about coming on the show. He had all that taken care of. And I get a text from Chris, who is our co-producer, wanting to make sure that Max had been, you know, was connecting and all that stuff. And also, he's interested in maybe being a part of another show or having his own show, whatever. Before I had a chance to even answer Chris, Amnon, who is our producer, said, hey, Max wants to do a show. I mean, he asks. And he's going to do it. So Amnon is going to work with Max on creating, you know, some kind of a show. And I think I want to give him a round of applause, because he doesn't just think it and then think about it again and process it again. And he saw an opportunity and he jumped on the bandwagon. And let me tell you something, that is to be commended. So good for you. I want to just acknowledge that.
Well, thank you so much. And that is who I am. You know, I honestly believe that, and I believe more people would be better off if they would just say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. Would you please help? And it's one of the things my dad taught me that I always remember. And I find that a lot of people who have blogs or podcasts or shows have other things going on. And if you will just ask them, hey, you know, like last year I was doing a show with a guy from New Jersey, and I found out that he puts on an annual conference. I said, well, how about I speak at the conference? And he said, well, it's too late to have you speak at this year's conference, but you are definitely down for next year. And that's the kind of thing I do. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of think of it kind of like the guy at the drive-thru at the McDonald's. One of the things he gets paid for when you drive up there to give him your money is, would you like fries or an apple pie with that? Mm-hmm. You know, how many times do you think he says that a day? And that's, you know, that's a little oversimplified. But the truth is, if I'm talking to somebody and something comes up and I think to myself, there's an opportunity, I'm not going to wait until the show's over and go, man, I should have said something. I'm not going to kick myself later. If they tell me no, fine. No isn't the worst thing that can happen. I like to say making mistakes isn't the worst thing that can happen. Being afraid to make them is. So if I see those opportunities, I ask for them. I put my hand up a lot of times. There are some teachers in my past who probably wish I would have learned not to put my hand up as often. But hey, that's something we've all done once or twice. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate the recognition you gave me as far as living what I tell people to do, and that is so important, because there are a lot of people out there, a lot of coaches, a lot of gurus, who will tell you what to do and then not do it themselves.
Oh no, I mean, literally. Somebody will say to me, do you wanna? And I will say, yes. If it sounds good, I'll say yes, and then think about how I'm going to do it later. There's nothing, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And especially when we do lots of the things that Max is suggesting, asking for help, surrounding yourself with people who want to help. People love to help. People love you to say thank you. They love to turn around and, you know, be the star in your sky, you know. So, and like Maya Angelou said, you know, people want to be your rainbow. So
I like to say people want to be the hero in your story.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a thing, because when we go together, I have a quote, the more united we will be, the more independent we can become.
Well, I have a quote from my dad that goes like this.
Go.
It goes, a one-man band doesn't play too loudly for too long.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. So, I have so many more questions, Jesse.
Before you go, I just want to say something. Max, you're getting really relaxed, and I'm glad the show is not going for another hour, because we're going to lose you completely.
You're going to the left.
There you go. Okay, now you're back.
I'm trying to remember to lean down. And
that's,
you know,
okay.
I'm right-handed, so I tend to lean to the left. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. So, Max, really quickly, tell everybody. So how many readers do you have on your blog, by the way?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even pay attention to those kind of numbers. I know I average 20 to 50 comments. That's all I've.
That's
all
a
I
lot.
Really care.
Okay.
That's all I really care about is, do people comment? Because, you know, but I don't really worry about the statistics. I focus on doing my best work, on sharing it with people. And, you know, if they can either choose to follow my example and learn from what I'm sharing, or they can choose to ignore me. But I'm going to do what I can and let the rest take care of itself.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be following your blog. And I don't follow many blogs, but I'm going to follow your blog because I like what you say, and I want to be as good as you in blogging. I want to have 20 comments.
That.
No, I'm serious. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of things well, but blogging is, and I can, and I'm to the point, I think, just like you were talking about. I'm honest, and I'll share even the littlest things because those little things are the things that go wow to me, but I'm really going to study you. So tell everybody again where they find your blog and your book and that kind of stuff. Do some promotion.
All right. Well, I'm good at promotion.
I know.
Blindblogger.net, theblindblogger.net, at Maxwell Ivy on Twitter, youtube.com/Maxwell Ivy. The email address is justask@theblindblogger.net. I like to tell people if you want to know anything about Max, just remember his email address, and that tells you all you need to know. I'm generally Maxwell Ivy or Mr. Midway most places. I love comments. I love meeting new people, making new friends. And people don't have to have a particular reason to write to me, but I will say this much. I would rather answer an awkward answers for themselves. It's a lot easier to answer them than it is to unteach myths that people have about me, the visually impaired, the amusement business, whatever it may be. So if there's something you go, hey, I'd like to know what Max thinks, send me an email. Use my contact form. Mm-hmm. If you want to know about making the no excuses part of your life, I coach people. There's a place on my website where you can contact me, and I'll do a 30-minute free call with you, and we can talk about what you've been doing, why it ain't working, and see if you and me are a good fit to work together. Because, you know, if you don't hit it off, if you don't have a connection, if you don't feel like you could be friends with that person at some point, it's kind of hard to work with them for a long period of time. So I'm basically me, you know, I'm Max. And if they've got a question, they want to connect with me. If there's a site they're on that I'm not on, send me an email. Maybe it's something I need to look into.
Mm. That's terrific. Max, you're really such a pleasure to have on. And I've really enjoyed it. And I want to ask you, in just take another minute or so in closing and just like really fine tune your message. Like, what is your, like, what do you want to leave our audience with?
I want to leave them with the idea that there is nothing they can't accomplish if they first decide that that's what they want to do, break it down into small steps, take concrete actions every day, ask for help, bring people into their community that will be positive and encourage them to keep going. It's like I said, do that one thing every day, do it as well as you can, do more, do it better the next day. I'm not perfect. There's lots of stuff I still can't do, lots of stuff I never will be able to do, but I do what I can. I let the rest of it take care of itself. I don't worry about it. I like to use the serenity prayer. I do what I can do something about. If it's something I have no way of making an impact on, I put it off to the side, don't worry about it. And I pray and meditate and ask friends to help me decide which is which. So I don't know. I think the big thing is take the small steps, do something every day. Instead of talking about what you don't know, can't do, or don't have, make a list of what you do have, what you can do, and do it.
Well, words of wisdom from Max Ivy, no question. And we're going to stay connected to Max for sure. And maybe Max will come back on the show and he's going to work out something with Amnon. And then I'm going to connect with you. I'm writing a book about men, Max.
Cool.
And you're my perfect man. So I'm going
to
ask you.
You know, I've been waiting a long time to hear a woman say that. I wasn't exactly expecting it to be you. I am single and available. 56'4", 260. My hair is gray, but I've still got most of it. I'm a very positive, optimistic person who wants to travel the world, and I need somebody crazy enough to want to go with me.
Well, I think you're going to find somebody real soon, and I'm going to ask Max to see if he's willing to be in my book. So we're going to talk to you about that, Max. But you've been a great guest. Okay, good, because you're perfect. It's about men and their emotional journey, awakening of men, and you know, Max is a perfect example of a lot of men that are out here in the world that have their story and are learning how to, you know, meditate, get through it, learn from it, move on. So you've been great. And I want to thank everybody out here who's been with us today on this journey. Take that step. We call them freedom steps here. Take that step, whatever it is. It could be getting up earlier one day. It could be reading something. It could be calling somebody and asking a question, whatever it is. Take that step, and we will see you next week. Bye, everyone. Bye, Max. Thank you so much.
Bye. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.
You're tuned to the Nissan Communications Network. Our weekly lineup of call-in programs includes Computers 2K Now with Amnon Nissan, My Life, My Will with Gisela DiCarlo, The Tanya Love Show, Help Thin with Debbie Brooke, Breaking Free with Marilyn Shannon, Triangle Be Well with Howard Jacobson, Lunch and Learn with Rabbi Yisrael Cutler, Lessons of Vietnam with NCVVI members, Parent Dome with Ryan Miller, Current Affairs with Amnon Nissan. And if you tuned in too late, you can always watch each program in its entirety or download an MP3 audio file of it in the archives section on NissanCommunications.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Twitter, and like us on Facebook. Sponsored by Atomos.com, makers of quality video recorders and converters, CarolinaApparel.com, and DeltaForce.net.